Hello and welcome along to another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Tom Nugent and this is the final step in the ladder to the Cheltenham Festival with the Cheltenham Countdown Extra podcast, the Nicotine 15. It's our county final and I'm delighted to be joined by our sharpshooter, Mr. Frank Hickey. Frank, how are things? All well?
Not too bad, Tom. Yourself?
As ever, you sound absolutely bouncing to be on another podcast.
Of life.
Yeah. It's a busy time of year for those with traders or compilers in their job title.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get called up to the Cheltenham preview out in Dubai. I am available next year if the lads want to book me in and take me over. But we're busy trying to keep on top of everything. But yeah, not too bad now, but busy out.
Having an interesting conversation about the run-up to Cheltenham and how big a slice of the annual pie for Paddy Power it is. It's a huge time of year for you and your job, isn't it? It's colossal. Like, it's turned into a behemoth.
It is, yeah. Look, it'll have a big impact on how our year will go. Obviously, this and the Grand National. Hopefully, we get it more right than wrong. You'd be pretty hopeful. I think from an anti-post point of view, we're probably in a lot better position than we were maybe in the last 3 or 4 years going into Cheltenham. Nothing's got really away from us, but I suppose it is a little bit more open as well. And the danger with that is that, you know, rather than having what looked like you're going to have 5 or 6 odds on favourites, and why did we make up a very obvious ACCA, you know, the ACCAs now are going to be more dangerous in that, you know, favourites might be 2-3-1 rather than odds on. And if you do get a day of winning favourites or, you know, favourites winning at those prices, can do enormous damage.
Well, the objective and raison d'etre of today's show is to take a look at PK's original Cheltenham Countdown show, pick holes in it and tie up the loose ends. We're going to take a look at the cross country, the Hunter's Chase, because you can't call it the Fox Hunters anymore, and a few of the handicaps as well. But first and foremost, Frank Hickey, where is Ruby Walsh gone? It was PK, Rory, and Nina Carberry. No sign of Ruby Walsh. Rumours abound that HR have finally stepped in to protect PK, and Ruby's gone.
Well, the one thing I did notice is PK did make a mistake.
Did he make? He didn't, no, or he did?
He did not.
He was perfect.
No Ruby Walsh, and he made no mistake.
See, this is the type of pressure Ruby puts people. Like, he can, all those old wives' tales about Ruby in the weigh room asking people what are they going to do, get them second guessing. He just got PK on the back foot, didn't he? Yeah. Got him worried.
Yeah, and he's just fucking all over the place. Next thing, bang, mistake, and then no Ruby, and he's smooth out, no mistake at all. Wow. All of a sudden, his bonus is looking like he might get it.
We're back on track. We're back on track. PK in for the payday, right? Let's take a look at the show. And the lads kick things off with a good question. Best ride they've ever seen at the festival. Nina obviously went with Belvano, ridden by her brother. And Rory Delargy also went with the Paul Carberry ride. This is Frenchman's Creek. I thought Mount Ida was a very strong contender in just recent years. Frank, what was the best ride you've ever seen at the festival? And you're very old, so this could be good.
Very old. Belvano is a very obvious one. Like, he just was doing the rounds on Twitter again only yesterday, and you forget how far back he was. Jesus, was brilliant. Frenchman's Creek's another good shout. And look, they mentioned Wichita Lyman. I think that's obvious as well. Half the world at him backed, it seemed, on the day. And look, he was just a graded horse in a handicap, but he couldn't jump really, could he? And he still managed to get him up. I would give a mention to, look, I suppose in hindsight, he was very well handicapped, but Sir Deschamp in the Martin Pipe, 2011, was it? Emmett Mullins Road, and like, he's out the back most of the way. Even 3 out, he's still, you know, probably got 14 or 15 in front of him. Coming down the hill, he's off it. And he's starting to close, turning in, but he's still got a fair bit of ground to make up. And he nailed Son of Flicka, maybe 25 yards from the line. Of course, Son of Flicka went on then the following year and landed a huge punt in the Carl Cup. I think the owner won nearly £1 million punting him from 66 down to 16. But I thought that was another one that was a decent ride. you know, I was going to say back in focus, getting up to beat Tofino Bay just to wind up Nina. But I backed Tofino Bay, so it was absolutely gut-wrenching. But that was one where I wouldn't call it a brilliant ride. But Patrick looked like, Reval Distraval, I think. And Tofino Bay kicked clear turning in, and Reval Distraval came down. Tofino Bay was clear, and he probably went six lengths up, jumping the last, and he just idled up the running, and Patrick kept back in focus running on, and he nailed him just before the line. But I think it was as much Tofino Bay idling as, you know, Patrick doing anything spectacular. But for me, I'd say, just to be different, Saturday champ in the Martin Pipe.
That's good shout. Good shout. I admire your optimism as well that Nina potentially listens to this show. I'd imagine she has far, far better things to be doing with her life. But anyway, the lads also took a look at a few of the Constitution Hill specials that have gone up on site, Frank. Anything in those that kind of stands out to you as a potential angle?
It's not my type of betting now, to be honest. Maybe close to the day when you know what kind of ground it is. Exactly, but yeah, look, I don't think, you know, maybe look and see what Constitution Hill over 10 lengths or something is, maybe just for an interest, but like, yeah, it's not my sort of bet.
That's fair enough. Righto, let's get stuck in. The cross-country non-runner money-back betting with Paddy Power is as follows. Delta Work, the even money favourite. Galvin is 11-4. Franco Deport, 8-1. Dacia Abbas, 14-1. Snow Leopard, S16s, alongside Back on the Lash. Gin on Lime is 20-1. And Hurricane Darwin is 25s, alongside Foxy Jacks, Diesel Dallier, Easy's Land, Hardline, and it's 33-1. And bigger the rest. Frank Hickey, the lads, well, Rory DeLargy basically busted the myth that putting a kind of older or sour horses over banks sweetens them up. You often hear people say that. They come out with that little soundbite, oh, we're just trying something to get his mind back in gear, or get his eye back in. And Rory DeLargy basically said it's bollocks.
There it is. I think if it was true now, there'd be a good chance Chill would be sending me down to Ender Bulgers for a week, like, you know. but no, there's far more don't take it than do take it, you know. But to be honest, I wouldn't fancy myself going through, you know, the double banks and all this stuff. There's a good chance I'd break something. But yeah, look, I think it's something where, yeah, the odd one takes, the majority don't. Was it Bally Case? No, there was a good Willie horse had a crack at it there a couple of years ago, and he hated it. And obviously, 160 horse. Was it Bally Casey?
Yeah, no. I think it was Bally Casey. Yeah,
it was Bally Casey. Yeah, and like didn't hate it. I think, you know, I think it's more the trainers. Like Garden obviously has cracked the formula for that, and obviously Enda was the one who did it originally in the UK. Martin Keeley and Philip Hobbs would be the two that would spring to mind who kind of have a good handle on it as well. But I think a lot of the time, yeah, it's just kind of last chance saloon with some horses in the last throw of the dice, and majority don't hate it as well.
Okay. I love that idea of you going down for a bit of a retreat with Enda Bulger, you slapping a saddle on your back and away you go. Very good. Right. Okay, let's look at this year's market then. Delta Work, obviously the defending champion, crushing dreams last year, beating Tiger Roll. What about this year's run, Frank? Your run on January 3rd. Nina gave him a big shout, as long as the track doesn't get too quick. Interesting little bit of chat about how they can't actually water the cross-country track in full at Cheltenham. So it's very much you're on weather watch when you're looking for one with a cut in the ground in the cross-country. Delta Work and those other few points, what did you think?
You have to remember, like, he beat Tiger Roll 3/4 of a length last year, 21 lengths back to Plan of Attack in third. They absolutely bolted up between the two of them. I think it was a fair run in January. Like weight, I know Rory kind of mentioned it in it, like weight isn't the be-all and end-all to the same extent maybe, you know, over conventional fences, but at the same time he was conceding £16 to Back on the Lash and £18 to Dacia Abba on trials day. It was a fair run. I do think ground maybe, I think he'd be one softer ground probably suit him better. Good to yielding probably just makes him, or good to soft, slightly more vulnerable. Like, I think it was yielding ground when he beat Seeing Banjo Neck. Like, you would expect them, you know, on their ratings to be well capable of putting Seeing Banjo away. And that was in Punchestown at the start of the year. I think it just brings a few more into it a little bit. But he's definitely going going there as the one to beat. And the fact that this isn't a handicap like what it used to be years ago definitely makes it more difficult to beat these classy types.
Galvin, Frank, I saw there was a quote on Twitter. I think it might have been the Racing Post you posted from the Gordon Elliott media day that he's schooling very well. Nina was wary about a first try in this sphere, but what chance?
Delta Work won it in his first try at it last year, didn't he? So I wouldn't be overly worried on that front, particularly, as I said, Gordon has got, he's got a measure of this race and what you to do, and he takes them over schooling extensively as well. Like he did it with Tiger Roll first year. He's obviously done it with Delta Work last year. I'd have no worries. And if he's thinking he's really taken to it, I'd take that on board. I think it's a huge chance, particularly drawing ground. I think probably maybe slightly more in his favour than Delta Work. As again, the forecast is a big bit mixed, but yeah, there's been very little rain, and yeah, you imagine it's not going to be any worse than good when they can't water it all. And you have to remember too, like, he's got a really solid festival record as well, Galvin. He's only 9. He was 4th in the Gold Cup last year. Look, the aim this year has been the Grand National. He knew they couldn't win a Gold Cup with him again, so, you know, they've been working back from the National, and running the cross country has proved to be an exceptional prep for the National. He was 6th in the Ballymore, 2nd in the 2020 festival in the Novice Handicap Chase by Nat Plutard. He won a Novice Chase here. He's won the National Hunt Chase. You know, I just think there's very few negatives, and yeah, he's a huge player. And I think the only reason there's a gap between him and Delta Work is because he hasn't been over the banks yet.
Okay, a little bit of a twinkle in the Frank Hickey eye there as he spoke about Galvin. Rory gave a good mention to Back in the Lash and Dacia Abba Frank. The home challenge with Back in the Lash. What are you thinking?
Back in the Lash, a horse I really like. I do think he's a bit ground dependent, though. I think he wants, like, he was pulled up last year when it was very testing, obviously all the rain on the Wednesday. You know, handicaps give him a better chance. Obviously it's going to be much more difficult of levels here, but if the ground did turn up, you know, good to form in places, it would definitely give him an each way squeak anyway. Dita Abba, I thought he ran a cracker here in January. It was his first try in it. As I said, Philip Hobbs, a decent record and disciplined. Balthazar King won the race twice. Lac Doudal, I think, was 3rd in it behind a new story. So you'd respect Philip Hobbs with Dita Abba. But again, you know, he's rated, what, high 130s? You know, I know those ratings don't, you know, probably aren't completely accurate for this discipline, but at the same time, it still leaves him 15-20 pounds to be finding with Galvin and Delta Work. And I think realistically they're more, you know, each way shouts if you've got 4 places rather than realistic win contenders.
Interesting. They also discussed Snow Leopardess. She's obviously a very likable mare and seems to get a disproportionate amount of airtime on television, but she'll want to cut, won't she? She'll want to drop her in.
She gets too much attention. I don't think she's any chance, so we'll try and even up the airtime.
Nothing like a bit of Frank Hickey realism to bring you straight back down to earth. And a quick mention for Shady Operator, Frank, cross-country specialist. Obviously race conditions vulnerable at the weights. It's a conditions race, not a handicap, as you discussed earlier. Could he be a player?
The entries came out this morning and he actually isn't entered, so I imagine they're looking at Punchestown.
It's unlikely he'll be a player then.
Yeah, you know, willing to lay bets if someone wants to back him. Personally, look, I'd say they're holding on to him for Punchestown because realistically Delta Work and Galvin aren't going to run there because they'll be running an entry instead, so it's probably a more realistic target for him to go to Punchestown.
Fair enough. Right, on decision time, Frank Hickey. Nina went with Delta Work, as did Rory DeLargy. Are you going to rock the boat in the cross country?
I'll do a little bit of rocking. I'll just give a mention quickly to Gin on Lime and Frank of the Port. Gin Lime's only a 7-year-old mare. She weighed 142 in Ireland. She'll get the 7-pound mare's allowance. She was 4th in the Kerry National off 143 when last seen. Would have slight stamina concerns, but it looks like she's been named the National this season in decent ground suit. So, you know, like if you think about what her English mark would be, it'd probably be about 146 or so, giving the 7 to bring up to 153 to give her a squeak. And then obviously Franco de Port, he hasn't run over them the banks yet, but he's rated 157. As I said, Willies haven't tended to taken to this really, bar Uncle Junior.
Junior's just really about to say, he ran in it when he was 14 or something nearly, didn't he?
Yeah. He did take it now, but like he was maybe back in the days when it wasn't such a classy race, but or classy types didn't do maybe run in this. This Franco de Port was second in the Taiesas last year of 153. I don't think there's any issue with staying. Again, he looks like he's been lined up for the National all year. He's only 8. He was third in the Grand Steeplechase de Paris last May. He's a touch of class. If he did take that, he'd be a player. But on the balance, you'd probably swerve him. When it comes to my selection, I'd be very sweet on Galvin. I think everything's in place for him to turn over. Delta work. All over Galvin.
All over Galvin in the cross country. Thank you, Frank. Love that.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Onwards we go to the James Palace or James Place Hunter's Chase. And we've got betting here. Vosley, the 2-1 favourite. Ferns Lock, 4-1. Wing Leaders, 9-2. 5-1, Famous Clermont. Chris's Dream, 7-1. Alongside Billaway, 8-1. Secret Investor. The Storyteller is 12s. Alongside Dorking Cock and Rockies. Howie, 14-1. And bigger the rest. Frank, The old Fox Hunters often throws up a good old story, and the lads reminisced on the fringe. He was a bit of a legend. The double treble, the Cheltenham entry, Punchestown across the card. Now we know, obviously, this is a lesser grade, but it still takes a fair horse to do that, and he was a serious operator. He always got beaten on his first run, generally, didn't he? And then he'd kind of hit festival season and he'd hit peak form.
Look, there's been some very good horses down through the years. Was it Cap of Blah won the Fox Hunters and didn't he place in a couple of Grand Nationals then later on down the line? Obviously on the fringe winning it, the double treble. Like, that's serious going. Like, you kind of wonder, like, what would he be capable of if he was running in, you know, good handicap? Yeah. It probably wouldn't be a great one horse, but like, you'd imagine he'd be capable of winning a good handicap, all right. Salsify was another one who was brilliant on his day.
Oh, yeah. Remember Coleman that? Sweeney, cool as ice. Had to be ridden from the back. Loved it.
A friend of mine owns horse with Roger Sweeney, and I remember saying to him, like, they should be lining him up for the Bet365 Gold Cup in Sandown because they get good ground. He stays, you know, he's just one of those ones you switch off and go through the field. And there was a rake of cash for it as well. But they stuck with the Hunter Chase scene. He was a brilliant horse.
Great old pub quiz question that I often ask producer Mark. He was blessed to win one of his Hunter Chases when a horse unseated Jane Mangan on the flat. What was the name of the horse?
Oscar Delta.
Scorched into your memory.
They still call it Black Friday inside in the trading room. Really? Getting that shiver down the spine. I think, I might have been working in sports at that stage, was I? Rather than racing, might have been before my time in racing, but yeah, you send a shiver down the spine, the lads, when you mention it. God, it was really? A great day when Salsify won.
They were a great day. Hopefully we can find the winner of the 2023 in renewal. David Christie, king of the Hunter Chases, and he has Vosley, the 2-1 favourite. Frank, what chance? Rory thought he was a little bit skinny price wise. What do you think of Osley?
Look, he's very talented, but he's not as far clear maybe as the betting would suggest he is either. I thought he was very unlucky not to beat Billaway at Punchestown. I had a right betting him last year. I was there. I was standing nearly in front of the last fence and some clattered.
Oh, did you get sick ever?
I nearly puked. it was disgusting. Because he definitely was the better horse in the day. And I was like, oh, yuck. He's gone to Stratford and won their champion Fox Hunter Chase there. He's obviously taking advantage of Dorking Cock. being a bit wayward in the finish at Don Royal, but he was beaten by that horse 8 lengths in the race last year. Good ground in 3 miles suit. Look, he's a very strong chance, but as 2-1 favourites go, yeah, it's short enough. And I think what's very interesting is David Christie, like, is Winged Leader going to run here? Or are they going to go straight to Aintree with him? Like, Winged Leader's just touched off last year. Very unlucky that Billoway got him right in the line. He has only run a point since, I think, beating Lamallon a length and a half at the end of January. But what's really interesting is Christie said that Fern's Lock wasn't going to run at all, but he's in the entries this morning. So that's throwing the cat among the pigeons, as they say. And if he does take his chance, Fern's Lock has looked exceptional. He won a Fairy House first time out, looked really impressive, and then ran against Billoway Thurles. Now, Thurles would be Billoway's track. We know it's sharp, and you know he takes an awful lot of stoking up, but Fern's Lock beat him 20 lengths, beat him senseless. And yeah, it's just interesting. Why did he let him in? I've been on Twitter trying to see if I could see some quote about why, you know, why he's left Fern's Lock in. Is it, you know, is there a, you know, a doubt about Vosley getting there or something like that? I don't know, but it's just made very, very interesting.
Let's discuss Billoway, Frank. He's been, you know, every punter has one of those horses that they just can't warm to. And he's mine, just purely because I've never caught him right. And he's kind of a horse that sometimes when he's very short, he could let you down quite easily. And as you say, it takes a lot of stoking up. Was a brilliant ride from Patrick Mullins last year when he basically was ridden from flagfall and driving and got up in the shadow of the post. What do you think of Billoway's realistic chance this year?
Look, he has to have a decent chance in that. Like, if you look at his record, he's beaten a short head by Parlock Bay in 2021. He was second, albeit 10 lengths behind. It came to pass in 2020, and he's obviously won a head last year, Nick. He has his chance, but he's not getting any better either at the same time, I would say. And yeah, look, he'll be there or thereabouts, but I think if Vosley, Fern's Lock, or Winged Leader turn up at their best, I'd be surprised if he beat any of them.
Okay, very good. What about Chris's Dream? Nina reckons he's the unknown. Obviously, he was running in a Gold Cup not that long ago and shat up on a Troy Town only a few years ago. He's got talent, but is probably on the wane. Could this be his sphere?
It's not the usual type you'd probably go looking for, is it? You know, profile-wise, look, his best form probably is on testing ground as well. Look, you only have to go back to the 2021 Beecher Chase, which is what, 14, 15 months ago when he unseated in that. So when he unseated maybe 4 or 5 out and he was travelling really well. He's won 2 points this season, both on testing ground. He'd have a chance, but to be honest, yeah, he wouldn't be for me now. I'd stick with maybe ones that are more proven in this sort of sphere. And yeah, it's just maybe trying to sweeten him up a little bit as well. I'd steer clear of him.
Why would you be worried about him being sweetened up? It's effectively just a lower grade chase. Oh, no, it's not lower grade,
but I mean, like, as in, you know, if the ability was there, you'd just really be getting him handicapped for a good handicap, wouldn't you?
I suppose, but maybe the owner has so many horses, he maybe just wants a winner. But who knows? Time will tell.
Yeah, but like, you know, how many? He hasn't had a whole pile of Cheltenham winners either. Like, as in, are you saying that he couldn't get him down to a mark? Like, it'd be very easy for a horse of that age.
JP didn't try it with On the Fringe. That's all I'd say.
Pardon?
JP didn't try it with On the Fringe. He just banked the winner. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But JP's had plenty of Cheltenham winners. How many Cheltenham winners have Rob Core had?
One.
Which one was it?
I'm thinking of the...
Bob Olinger?
Yeah. And...
Two, so they've had two. Bob Gene
Online slithered in the what that was the that, November that was meeting, November wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, as in Cheltenham Fest winner, I think Bob Olinger twice. That it.
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, you could easily, like, horses now rated, you know, who are 10, 11, 12, you can get them down in the handicap very quickly. You can run them 4 times and get them down to high 130s and have a crack at a decent handicap. I don't know. Look, I'm not an expert.
You're literally, the only reason you're here is because you are an expert.
I was going to say an expert on Hunter Chase is now, so I mean, but the general profile of horses you want, he's not really the profile of ones you want.
Okay, let's get a decision then. Nina went with Vosley. Rory threw in one from left field, Le Malan, who qualified by winning a point-to-point only on Sunday, currently 16-1. What are you going to go with, Francis?
I'm just going to rattle through a few that are half, you know.
Do 100%. 100%.
Look, again, Brain Power, a bit similar to Chris's Dream. High class back in the day. He's won 5 of his last 7 points. Warren Ewing trains now. If you want to mention, look, probably again on the wane and not good enough. But, you know, he's one that a lot of people might latch onto if he did take his chance. Le Malan definitely got a chance. Very interesting. He's only linked behind Vosley at Portrush in October. Won half legs behind Wing Leader at Craigmore in January. And only half leg behind Billowaite and Ace. He was very useful over Hurling to France before, you know, spending over 3 years off the track and moving to Ireland. He's definitely got plenty of ability. And if he took his chance, and depending, you know, how many of David Christie's actually turn up, he'd definitely have an each way chance. One I just thought was a very strange profile, Rocky's Howia. Look, very moderate under rules. He's only rated 106 over fences for the great James DeLay from Bandon in County Cork. But he won 5 out of 5 in points since October. He's won by 18 lengths, 6 lengths, 29 lengths, 24 lengths, and 45 lengths. He beat Clonmeen and Rockcannon, I think, in his second point win. That one was second to Ballykeel at 8-1 in Novice Chase at Fairy House recently. And his last start in a point, he beat Chatham Street Lad by 45 lengths at Tallow. That was at the start of February. That was on yielding ground. Third Woodbrook Boy won a point by 18 lengths from Visio Man in his next start. He's got an injury in this race as well, Woodbrook Boy. As I said, he was trained by James Lee. He's now moved to Declan Queeley. He's only 7 as well, so maybe he's just clicked into gear, but he's just won it. He could well be a wild price half to keep an eye on. And of course, you've got the Storyteller and Secret Investor in there, who are quite class in their day as well, so you couldn't put a line through them. Comes the tip, look, Fern's Lock turns up here, he'll win. I just think it's interesting. He's got the entry. Look, you can back him non-run, no bet. And if he runs, huge chance. If he doesn't, you get your money back. I'd be all over him. If he doesn't run, I'd probably go with Rory and have a few Bob and Lamalan each way if he doesn't. But Fern's Lock turns up here, I wouldn't be opposing him at all.
Lovely stuff. Frank Hickey all over Fern's Lock like a bad rash if he shows up in the Fox Hunters. Righto, question time, Frank. The guys were asked, what horse would receive the biggest reception at Cheltenham if it won or ran well? Nina thought Constitution Hill, as did Rory. They were very much of the opinion that the Cheltenham crowd will clap in one of the greats. But were you at the Dublin Racing Festival any day, particularly the Sunday?
Oh, I was at a wedding.
Oh, you were at the wedding. They roared Rachel Blackmore as she got a leg up on Honeysuckle, like going out. I've never seen that. Got a kind of a round of applause. What's on they the roar? Way
like, you better bloody win, Rachel.
No, just like a roar of kind of, go on, Rachel. Go on, Honeysuckle. And I just think if she runs any way well, and if she's in the four and gets into the winner's enclosure in the champion hurdle, she didn't take the roof off the place, I would have thought. Because that's it. She's gone. I would have thought that's hurdle? The big reception. Or the mayor's hurdle, sorry.
I was going to say Jerry Kalam will get a great reception. He wins the Brown Advisory. But yeah, look, everyone obviously loves Hutty Suckle. If she wins, she probably will bring the house down. She's the obvious one, isn't she?
I was surprised they didn't even mention her in the big show. We're the B team, like, you know.
But sometimes when you're in the B team, like, you're training hard or trying to get into the A team, like, you know.
One of these days, Frank,
you're going to break your balls, Gall. When am I going to get my chance? I'm ready to go in, like.
Never is the answer. Never. Rory rattled through a couple of handicap tips, but if you want to hear those, you can go and actually listen to the main show. It is the Cheltenham Countdown Show. It's available on the Paddy Power YouTube channel, or you can listen to it as a podcast as well. Just give it a quick search in the feed. But Frank, I'm going to give you a chance to just rattle through a couple of handicap fancies. Obviously, there are full Cheltenham preview shows to come next week. But just give us a flavor of what you're liking at the moment. Obviously, we're just a couple of weights published today. What am I right in saying? I've been in the car all day, so I haven't actually seen
it. They weren't out as yet as we started recording. Okay. I know they should be out shortly.
Okay.
Or is it tomorrow? I thought it was today, but maybe it's tomorrow morning. But we'll definitely have them by Wednesday lunchtime.
Cool.
Look, it's very difficult without seeing what marks the Irish horses have got. But in saying that, the Ultima hasn't really been a race the Irish have done too much in anyway. So there didn't look to be too many obvious ones bar the Gaffer in that. You know, look, these aren't tips. These are ones I kind of have my eye on. We'll see a bit close to the time. But T-Clipper would be one I'd give an each way chance in the Ultima, particularly with if the forecast remains dry. He was fourth last year off a mark of 145. And you've tended to see that a lot of horses who run well in the race previous have come back and run well or won. Beware the Bear was fourth before winning it. Vintage Clouds hit the frame two or three times before winning it. And Tom's part two won it 2 years in a row. He just ran a really good race last year as a novice, only his fourth start ever over fences. He's £2 higher this time around. He's also been third in the Carl Cup in 2021, for mark of 141. Look, he's fairly consistent. He was beaten by Sam Brown at Ancient. Sam Brown bolted up last year. But he was 4-14, a fair effort. He was second to Peregrine Run's reappearance at Chepstow. But I think it's the run in Ascot in October off Mark 145 makes him interesting. He was third that day, went off 5-1 favourite. The winner, Our Power, won off 136 that day. He followed up at Kempton last weekend off 141, is now rated 147. Kitty's Light was sixth, won the Eider last weekend. Ansam was eighth, won at Ascot two starts later. The ninth rapper won at Cheltenham two starts later. The form's worked out really well. The tenth did nothing.
I'm only
picking out the horses that make my argument solid, Tom.
Okay.
Up £2. Look, he's gone up £2, but he had a run in the long distance hurdle at Newbury when last in November ran poorly. But he'd have a squeak, I think, if the ground ends up good. Another one on my radar in the Boodles. Be interested to see what kind of mark he gets, but I can't see how he gets, you know, anything much more than like mid to high 120s, and that's Morning Soldier. He's yet to win in four starts over hurdles. He was six lengths second to Adonis winner, subsequent Adonis winner in Nuzrit on his hurdles debut. What caught the eye there was he was very well backed at a massive price. I think he was like 66-1 backed into. He got in short enough and he drifted a little bit on the show, but he ran a cracker, travelled well, finished second, beating six lengths. Two lesser efforts after that, but that was on testing ground. I think the ground's very important to him. He got yielding ground last time at Nace. I actually put him up for that race at Nace because of the ground, and he was an absolute smash-up job on the show. I think, you know, about an hour before the race, he was 14-16-1. He's gone off 11-2. He's travelled out the back. Small fields now, I think it was 6-1-ers, 6-7-1-ers. I think in hindsight, Danny Mullins probably could have held on to him a slightly longer. It's unusual to be criticising Danny. He's been absolutely exceptional for a while now. But Morning Soldier hit the front, looked all over the winner, and just ran out of puff 100 yards from the line. Sir Alan nailed him, beat him a length. In third was Biker for Charles Burns. A lot of people are all over Biker for the Boodles. But I just think if the ground's coming up good, Morning Soldier is going to be really suited by a big field where you can bury him and deliver him late. And he's one definitely beyond my radar. If he gets somewhere between 125 and 129, he'd be on my shortlist for the Boodles. And just a couple of Hector Javlik's one on the shortlist as well for handicap hurdle. He was a wide margin winner of a 3 mile handicap on New Year's Day at Cheltenham. He was fourth in November at Cheltenham over 2 miles five. He's £8 higher than that. 7 length win, qualified at Huntingdon, finishing fourth for the pretense in the pretense qualifier. I think he was out doing no more than qualify. That win he had when he won by 7 lengths, the second Jet of Magic was third in a valuable Sandown handicap at his next start, and the fifth Call Me Lord was actually second at Sandown handicap. Well, Thomas Darby back in 6-1 handicap chase next start. He's half interesting, far from exposed, and there's upside to him. And the Grand Annual, I'd just be kind of keeping an eye on Unexpected Party, Saint Seagal and Grey Diamond. They'd be on my shortlist at this stage. There's just a few on handicaps that are interesting to have on your radar, maybe investigate more. I'm not saying go out and back them now, but they'd be ones I'd be keeping an eye on.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Well done, Frank. Thank you for that indeed. But we will, of course, hear more from you next week. For now, though, the guys wrapped up things up with a Cheltenham lucky 15 at this point in time. I want Frank Hickey's lucky 15 as we record on the 28th of February. That is going to click, potentially. Go on.
I was trying to find, like, this isn't really a face spitter, like, you know, one where, you know, you can get four massive price ones to click and you can spit in the face of the boss and walk out the door. This is just more one I think has a right chance of hitting. And with my OCD, it was very annoying that I couldn't think of a fourth horse with a G, because the first selection's Jerry Kalam, the second selection's Galvin, the third selection's Gala Marceau. And I was like, God, it would be great now if I fancied another horse with a G, but I don't. I think my fourth one I'll throw in will be Echoes and Rain in the Mares.
Interesting. Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
That's just more from listening to Ruby. Like, Ruby will tell you stuff without telling you, if you know what I mean. He just keeps kind of going, echoes and rain, I think, if you listen.
You can tell, and you listen to him and Patrick, they've loved her since she's arrived, but she's just kind of just been hard to settle, and she's made her mistakes. Potentially.
But I think if you remember back when she was a couple of years ago, I was adamant to Ruby that she'd win the Grade One at Aintree, the novice. And they obviously didn't go, and I was convinced she was going to win the champion hurdle. I think the year Honeysuckle won it first, was it? Yeah. It was last year that she was going to win the champion hurdle. Obviously wasn't good enough to do that, but she does seem to be getting the hang of things now, and she's improved so much on the fat in the interim. I think you just have to go back to that run that happened great as well. She just switched off out the back, travelling lovely when she fell. I know she has to brush up in her jumping, but the ability's there.
Do you reckon when Ruby's in discussion with Willie Mullins about where to run different horses, he plagiarises some of your kind of insight?
Well, apparently they used, I kept going on about that, and I was given an audition then for some horse in a 24 runner handicap at Punchtown, and I said to run the 2 mile race, not the 2.5 mile race. They ran it in the 2 mile race, he finished third, beating a few lengths, and he told me it was useless placing. I was like, jeez.
All right, the Glasutton race planning job is not open for applications, particularly like for Frank Hickey. Well, so concludes our Cheltenham Countdown Extra run, but we do have a Cheltenham preview coming, recording next Wednesday, I assume, maybe published Thursday before the festival. But that concludes the Cheltenham Countdown Extra run. We've basically crushed PK for the last 6 weeks, and it's been quite enjoyable, Frank.
To be honest, all I've seen recently is pictures of him drinking on Twitter, so it's obviously trying to escape all the criticism, you know, drowning his sorrows. So,
You can keep an eye out for the main Paddy Power Cheltenham preview show on Monday with Paddy Ruby, Tony Mullins, Lydia Hislop and David Jennings. Don't forget to subscribe to the Paddy Power YouTube channel for more Cheltenham content coming at you thick and fast. Lots of previews. We've got more Shark Power coming in the run-up to Hewick's Tilt at the Gold Cup and lots more besides. But for now, that concludes the Cheltenham Countdown Extra run. Frank, thank you very much. You've left the jersey in a better shape than you picked it up in. Fair play. The B team will always be proud of you.
The one thing I like being on the B team are they are the bigger jerseys, like, you know, the senior team ones are very tight. Yeah, they're not flattering.
Free chicken fillet rolls in the local spend the centre as well with the sponsors.
And a bottle of Coke as well before you start. Do you know what I mean? Pure. Like,
right. That concludes Cheltenham Countdown Extra coming at you straight from the horse's mouth. I've been Tom Nugent. He was Frank Hickey, and you've been you. Thanks a million for listening. Good luck and thanks.